gotta do is take a look at the devil right square in the eye and tell him I have believed you for the very last time. Devil, I know you've been lying. You do not define me, 'cause all of your power has been swept away. Your threats are as empty as Jesus' grave. So devil, go get behind me. You do not define me. He knows the ways were different, when we're tempted to choose a side. Takes the beauty in our diversity, and he'll use it to divide. And he'll split us over doctrine, or the color of our skin. When we fight with fear and hate, he's the only one who wins. But when he comes your way, just put him in his place. Take a look at the devil right square in the eye and tell him I have believed you for the very last time. Devil, I know you've been lying. You do not define me, 'cause all of your power has been swept away. Your threats are as empty as Jesus' grave. So devil, go get behind me. You do not define me, no. One name above all names defines who I am, allows me to say that I've got the victory over the enemy. One God above all gods, who knows who I am, gives what I've got, and I've got authority to make the devil flee. So look that devil square in the eyes, tell him I'm so tired of your lies. No, you do not define me, 'cause all of your power has been swept away. Your threats are as empty as Jesus' grave. So devil, go get behind me. You do not define me. Yeah, devil, go get behind me. You do not define me, no.
Amen. That's right.
Hat off too. It's not a biblical thing, but it's a cultural thing, and it's one way that we honor God. So I got that hat off. I can get it later. No sun shining in here anyways. Well, we're going to be looking at an important subject found in Genesis 1:1. And in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, in the beginning.
Wait, just a minute.
I've been waiting all this time. Gotta get with the program.
I was so excited. I haven't had my ball glove on since I was about in the eighth grade. That was a long, long time ago. So.
What are you doing with the ball glove, the bat, and the balls?
You can't play baseball without a bat, a ball, and a glove.
Who said anything about baseball?
You did. We all heard it, didn't we? Okay. All right, see?
Where did you
hear? I would never say I told you so, but There it is. You read it from the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the big inning.
No, not the big inning. In the beginning.
Oh, well, you'd better start pronouncing your words just a little bit better, old buddy. What's the matter? Is your tongue tripping over your new dentures? Don't know. Well, since I have the ball, the bat, and the glove, all I need is a batter and a pitcher. Okay. And Miss Penny is going to be our batter today. But don't expect a lot and don't be disappointed, because I asked this girl, have you ever played softball?
No.
I couldn't believe it. A country girl that never played softball.
We played rollerball and run.
Oh.
Kickball.
I'll give this to you so you can say you have a bat. Okay. All right. Come on. Here's your bat. You're going to come over a little bit close, about midway, right about here. And I thought I heard, I guess I assumed that all the Sullivans played baseball sometimes.
3 years varsity.
Whoa, then.
I can't see.
Okay, all right. Now she's going to hit this ball, and you just watch what happens. But she's not going to hit it hard to break the window.
You know you've got to swing the bat when it gets the ball.
I know that much.
Okay,
right.
Here we go.
Here we go, Gerald.
I'm going to hit your bat this time.
Boys, zero. And the girls, one.
That's enough baseball, Goldie. Can we finally get on with
Hooray!
The lesson?
Hooray! Girls won, 1-0. Grumpy old man.
You can take your seat now, Miss Goldie. Thank you for your...
Sore loser.
Help.
The girls beat the boys.
Oh. If I only knew what I was getting in for when I asked her for help. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Let's all turn there, please. This comes in kind of handy. My kids thought it was funny. They gave it to me on my 40th birthday. They thought I was getting old then. Oh, girls, if you could only see me now. It's even got a place for all my pills and a place that I can hang my teeth. Some of you laugh, but you need some of that too. Okay, Genesis 1:1, a very important truth that we're going to take some time to look at, but not a long time. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What we're going to do this morning as a lesson is look at a couple of important words from that verse, those two verses. The first thing I want you to see is right after, in the beginning, God. The Hebrew name that's used here is Elohim, and it means the majestic, all-powerful God. In the beginning, when everything that's marked by time was going to begin, God was already there. And then the next word that I want you to see is created. In the beginning, God created. out of nothing that previously existed, God created everything that now exists. Only God can do something like that, boys and girls. Your mom can make dinner, but she makes dinner out of things that already exist. Your dad may be a carpenter or a furniture maker, but he builds things out of already existing materials, wood and stuff like that. But God created everything out of nothing. Only God can do something like that. And then the third, well, before I get to the third one, let me give you a deep theological thought. Since God created everything that exists, he must have existed before his creation. Does that make sense? That means God, not this material world, is the ultimate reality.
Wow, that's deep.
Oh, there you are. Oh,
congregation, let's tell him again.
Wow, that's deep.
And the next thing I want you to look at is word number three, heaven. This word in this passage of scripture corresponds to what we call space. All right, we know about space, don't we? Are you sure you're done?
It was not my fault. It was his fault back there in the corner. I'm just saying.
Oh my.
It's not my fault.
Well, I hope all the surprises are done for now so we can get into the Bible lesson.
We'll see.
The fourth word that I want you to look at is earth. And earth in this passage refers to material things, or what we call matter. Later on in school, you will learn about the elements that make up matter. And that's what was created here. God created matter, and out of what he created now, he was going to shape and form everything else. Genesis 1:1 could read like this, and it makes it brief and to the point. God, who is greater than anyone or anything, called into existence out of nothing that previously existed, the space, mass, time, universe. He created everything. Hallelujah. That means he's a powerful God. Amen. And the Bible teaches us that he did it all in 6 days. Let's take a look at it. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to read some more from Genesis chapter 1. That will help us understand what took place on each day of creation. In verses 3 through 5, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So you see what he's telling us here? Morning and evening make up the first day. He's talking about a 24-hour day, just like you and I live in today. We have a daytime and we have a nighttime. And the two of them together make up a 24-hour time period that we call one day. This first part of speaking to light took place in one 24-hour period. Hallelujah. And then creation day two, we see in Genesis 1, 4 through 8. What did I do? I wrote the wrong thing down. Here we go. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Okay, what was going on here is that God created the earth's atmosphere and separated it from the atmospheric heaven to the upper heaven, to the heavens where God dwells. And in this earth's atmosphere, he created it so that there would be air for us to breathe, that it would moderate the temperature so that earth could have temperatures in which humans could live. They're going to be made later. And so that we would have humidities that were bearable. He created this earth's atmosphere, the heavens immediately around us. And he did that on what day?
Second day.
Day two. And it was done in a morning and an evening, the second 24-hour period. Hallelujah. Creation day three is found in Genesis 1, 9 through 13. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters he called sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was
good.
And there was evening and there was morning the third day. So here we go. All of the waters are gathered together. And when they gathered together, they were called seas or oceans, and when they gathered together, they exposed dry ground, and the dry ground was called land. God was getting ready to create life to live on that land and life to live in the water. But before he did that, he created vegetation, plants, and trees. Plants that we could use for food, trees that would have fruit, that we could use for food and had their own seed in them so that they could drop into the ground and grow new trees and produce more fruit. And the process just goes on and on and on. And it was good. And God did it on the evening and morning, another day. So you're beginning to see a pattern here. What God is doing is good in creation. And what God is doing, he is doing in one 24-hour period, or one day. It's really so simple that a child can understand it. But I'm afraid that there's a lot of people in our world today who have been educated. Well, let me give it to you in my dad's words. He was a teacher, and he came to this conclusion. He said, Mike, some people have just been educated beyond their intelligence. They look at it and made it so complex when a little child, a boy and girl in Sunday school class and in church could understand that God did these things in one day. He spoke and light came in one day. He did the second day of created work in one day. The third day in one day. And the pattern goes on. And everything that God made was good, not bad. Hallelujah. And he did it in a day, not in a million years. Can you imagine? A million years? How did they know that? They don't. They just guessed it. Well, can I tell you this? God gave it to us, this information, in a revelation. As far as we can tell, God revealed what I'm reading to you today to Moses. And Moses was used by God to record the first five books of the Bible. So, what are you going to trust? Are you going to trust God's revelation to us? Or are you going to trust the guess that scientists made? I think it's quite simple. God was right. The scientists were wrong. But let's go on. That's just my opinion, and I think the Word of God teaches us. I want to make sure I'm following this properly and not bringing any confusion to you. Okay, creation day 4. Verses 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. What's the light to govern the day called?
Sun.
And what's the light that governs the night called?
Moon.
So God created the sun and the moon to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The pattern goes on. It was good, and God did it in one day. And then we see the next act of creation, day 5, verses 20 through 23. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Hallelujah. So God created all of the birds that fly. While we were on vacation, we were eating at a little Mexican restaurant, Columbia, Maryland, and all of a sudden, our two granddaughters, Brooklyn and Olivia, would holler and point up to the sky. Look, hundreds of birds. The flocks were gathering together, and they kept flying over. Every time they flew over, look, the birds, hundreds of birds. It was more like dozens, but it was a lot of birds. God created all of those birds. They're different species, and they can all produce after their own kind. And God created all the fish in the sea. All of the creatures. Yes, Miss Goldie.
What did the cow and the chicken say?
I don't know, Goldie. What did the cow and chicken say?
Eat more fish.
Oh, Goldie. Thank you, Goldie, for your profound insight.
You are most welcome.
Creation day 6, Genesis 1. This is what we've been building all the excitement to get to. 24 through 31. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. So you see, with animal life, he created two types of animal, wild animals and domestic animals that man could raise and use for food. God's a good God, amen? And then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Boys and girls, how did God create man?
Male and female.
Male and female, boys and girls. It's really just that simple. And the way God created us was according to his plan, because he knew what he wanted us to do and had a plan for us from the time we were in our mother's womb. And he gave us our identity as a boy or a girl because he was going to use us in that identity. Mm-hmm. And this tells us that there's not all kinds of sexes like some overeducated people think. There are only two, male and female.
That's right.
That was what the Bible teaches us. That's not hateful teaching, that's just how God created it. And it was done in another 24-hour period. So man did not start as some type of slime coming up out of the ocean and over periods of years, starting by crawling on the ground and then growing legs. Pollywogs start that way. They start in the water and they got a tail, and then they get some legs, and pretty soon, instead of swimming, they're hopping around. That's not how man got started. God created man and woman just like you see men and women today.
Amen.
We didn't evolve over thousands and thousands of years. We came into existence as the creative act of God in one 24-hour period. Hallelujah. God gave breath to everything. He gave us food to eat, plants, trees, animal life, and God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So in 6 days of creation, God created everything that exists in this world and gave to his creation the ability to recreate, or what we call procreate. For the trees and the vegetables, they had their seed in them, they could be harvested, and next year they could be planted and they grow again. And that process just goes on and on and on and on. So the potatoes that Aroostook County farmers that are harvesting now came from potatoes that God created way back then through the seed that he put in them. And the fruit trees that we eat today, we eat because of the seed that God placed in them when they fall to the ground, and that apple deteriorates, the seed goes into the ground and it grows up to be a tree. And the cycle of life just goes on and on and on. And then we actually get to day seven. In Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3, it says this: thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, God rested from all his work.
Hold everything.
What is this?
For God to take a nap.
Oh, that was so thoughtful of you, Goldie. But Goldie, when God rests, he doesn't sleep.
How can that be?
He just doesn't. I don't know how. I don't know everything, but I can tell you this, that the Bible says that the Lord who keeps Israel does not slumber or sleep.
So you're not as smart as you have thought you were. You don't know everything. Oh, my word. That's a shock to me as much as it is to you. That must be a heavy burden lifted from your shoulders to think that you don't have to come up with every right answer.
No.
You're a bearded wonder. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And I should have known. Well, we've actually gotten to the end of our lesson for today. And you may be wondering, why is it so important that for the first Sunday that we have children with us all day, you teach a lesson on creation? Well, there's two important things that I want you to take out of this. God created the universe. It's His house. He created it. It's His house. He makes the rules for His house. He governs His house and holds His creation and everything about it accountable to Him. It's His. So the rules that He made are not arbitrary rules. He made rules to govern His creation. He knew how His creation would function at its best. He knew how men and women, male and female, boys and girls, would function at their best. So He created rules to govern that, not because He was a mean old man up there in the sky with a lightning bolt ready to strike you dead, but because He loves you and knows your capacities and created rules which, if you follow, will help you to live to your capacity down here. And He warned us later in the Bible that it's the thief, the devil, who tries to ruin our lives, to steal, to destroy, and kill. So if we follow God's ways, we can live life to the fullest. Remember, He created it. It's His house. He makes the rules and enforces them. He rules over all His creation. And the second thing I hope you never, ever forget, if God could make everything that exists out of nothing, and He did, we're living in it, then He can do anything that we need Him to do at any time. His power is unlimited. The power that He displayed at creation is still His power today, and He can do it again and again and again. And boys and girls, whatever situation you're in your life, keep this in mind. God can do anything you need Him to do. If you're in trouble, God can get you out of trouble. If you're in danger, God can get you out of danger. All you need to do is call on His name, and He will respond to you. He's a strong, powerful God, big enough so that nothing is too difficult for Him. Hallelujah. You know, I've known some strong, rugged people in my lifetime. I actually dated a girl who told me that my dad can do anything. And he was 6'4", 250 pounds, when I was only 5'9" and 185 pounds. So I never challenged her on that. And when he got upset, I would tell her, it's time for me to go home. He's not upset with you, it doesn't matter. He's upset. It's time for me to go home. But God, our Heavenly Father, and because we believe in Jesus and have accepted Him as our Savior, the Scripture says that we have the authority to be called sons and daughters of God. And in one passage, it uses the Jewish term, Abba, which means Father. And I studied that a little bit, and I found out that it's really a child's way of saying daddy. The God who created all this can be called daddy because He is our daddy. And when children call on daddy, daddy does everything he has to take care of your needs. Amen? Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Boys and girls, would you do something special for me this morning? If you're here today and you're facing something special that you need God to do for you, and it's something only God can do, I'm not going to ask you to tell everybody what it is, but if you're facing something special you need God's help with, would you just stand to your feet right there where you are? And adults can do this as well. Amen. 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 And you can talk it to God in a whisper. You don't have to say it out, but you can just speak it to God. It's a prayer, and God hears our prayers. We're going to pray for you. Father, you see each and every boy and girl, man or woman, who's standing here today that's telling you they have a special need that only you can do for them. And Lord, we're glad that you're such a loving God, that you love to give good gifts and do good things for your children. And I pray that whatever these needs are, that these are standing representing, that you would meet those needs, that they would see the hand of a loving God at work in their behalf. If it's a miracle of protection, a miracle of healing, a miracle that changes what's going on in the family, a miracle of financial provision, whatever it is, Lord, you're well able and willing to do it. And we agree together with those that are standing. And your word says, if any two agree on touching any one thing, it shall be done. So we believe you're going to hear and answer our prayers in a way that will bless each one that's standing here this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Now I'm going to ask you another favor. When God answers the prayer that you stood today to pray for, would you come back to church and tell us that God answered your prayer? Would you do it? That's fair, isn't it? God answers your prayer. Share it with us. It'll build our faith in Jesus.